I'm Gwen Leth. I'm the director of CREST. Just delighted to have you come here today to commemorate one of the most exciting events in the history of Hanford, the Tri-Cities, the nation, and perhaps the world, a celebration of N-Reactor, a monument to progress. With this exhibit, the Columbia River Exhibition of History, Science, and Technology, as we are now known as CREST, becomes the premier science and history center of Eastern Washington, and indeed, perhaps the region. We invite you to follow the timeline today, reflect upon the events captured here, and relate them to your own lives. What were you doing when you heard about Sputnik? Where were you during the Vietnam War? Were you in the audience when JFK helped to break the ground for the Hanford Generating Plant? How did you learn of Chernobyl or Three Mile Island? As we capture and share the history, we give roots to our children and establish a foundation upon which future generations will be built. Special thanks and appreciation are given to John Wagner, the manager of the Department of Energy Richland Operations, for his support, to U.S. Representative Doc Hastings for providing his support and encouragement, and today, as we launch a new exhibit, the first formal exhibit for CREST, we have many others in the community who need to have special recognition for this exciting and informative display. Darby Stapp, who you'll meet soon, the Cultural Resources Coordinator for CH2M Hill, a subcontractor for Bechtel, was the inspiration and the developer of this idea. It was Darby who wanted to create a living history for N-Reactor, rather than to try to capture the facts in a book only to be stored on the shelf. Thanks, Darby, for your inspiration, assistance, and support. In addition, a very multi-talented and creative person, Hugh Hall from BCSR, brought life into our history through this display and many other exhibits you see in our facility. Thank you, Hugh, for your tremendous energy, your talent, and dedication. Many of the interesting artifacts that you see here today come from the Washington Public Power Supply System. We appreciate their assistance. And as everyone knows, it takes an entire team to put this together. And I'm lucky. I have one of the best teams you could hope to work with. Many thanks to all of you. If you have questions, please do not hesitate to ask them. They're all here today. And now I'd like to have you meet Darby Stapp, who, as I said, is this most creative cultural resources coordinator for CH2M Hill, the subcontractor, or one of them, for Bechtel Hanford. Darby's really no stranger to Hanford. Prior to joining Hill, he was with Battelle as a manager of environmental projects at the Waste Technology Center. Mr. Stapp?
Thank you, Gwen. Today is about partnerships. In my case, my organization, the Hanford Environmental Restoration Contractor, has partnered with CREST to help us document the history of N-Reactor. As a result, we have cut project costs, but more significantly, we've been able to do things that we would never have been able to do individually. It was another partnership that emerged 35 years ago between the federal government and Washington Public Power Supply System that made possible the construction and operation of what soon became the largest electricity-producing steam plant in the world. And in a few minutes, we'll hear that it is partnerships such as these that will mark the future of Hanford. I'd like to take a few minutes to explain why we are documenting the N-Reactor and presenting this exhibit today. The state of Washington has gone on record saying that Hanford is an important historic site, and I think we can all agree with that. It was important to the nation and the state and the locality. In fact, in a few minutes, we'll hear President Kennedy claim that the events that took place here changed the entire future of the world. Washington State has also taken the position that the N reactor was an important part of the history of Hanford and should be listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And I think after this morning, you'll be able to see why they did that. Well, what does being on the National Register of Historic Places mean? First of all, it does not mean that N reactor will be preserved as a monument. Everyone has made it clear that the structure should be removed and the area made available for other uses. If anything is preserved, it will be the historic B reactor. But it does mean that before DOE can demolish the facility, efforts should be taken to document the history, the events, the technology of N reactor, so that this chapter of Hanford history will not be lost. Well, this has posed a challenge to us because, as you can imagine, N reactor is not your typical historic site. Historic preservationists have lots of history documenting log cabins, Victorian mansions, 19th century steel mills. But as far as I know, no one has ever tried to document a nuclear reactor before. So how do you document a nuclear reactor? What we've done is look at the intent of the regulations and adapted them to Hanford. And here's what we've come up with. First, we want to document the N reactor story in an unbiased way. We'll document the successes, the failures, the challenges, and the controversies. Second, we're drawing on all sources of information. We're gathering the key documents that describe the technology and events that occurred. We're collecting the photographs and objects that you see here today. And because N reactor is not very old, we have an unusual opportunity to talk to the people who made the history. We especially want to capitalize on this source of information. So we've instituted an oral history program so that the people who made the N reactor story can tell us what happened there, tell us what they think is important to remember, and can check over what we are saying to make sure that we get the story correct. Third, we put this exhibit together at this early stage to attract the attention of the people who worked there and who were part of the story. So you'll notice that this exhibit really is not your typical exhibit. It's really designed to kind of be a working exhibit so that we can bring people in and it can kind of point to different events and things like that and jog people's memories, and then we can engage in a conversation and tape it and preserve that part. So if you have information about technology, work life, anything else that relates to N-Reactor, please take one of the oral history questionnaires that we have out front, and we'll talk to you in the coming months. Another objective we have is we don't want to just document the N-reactor experience, we want to learn from it. Some say that future scientific and engineering achievements depend on an understanding of past successes and failures. Well, if that is true, then I think we can learn something from N-reactor that might help us deliver to new technology in the future. As we have come to learn, getting new technology into the field takes more than scientists and engineers. Managers, our politicians, the environmentalists, the Indians, the taxpayers are all part of the process. Part of the message of this exhibit is that N-reactor wasn't perfect. No pioneering technology is. I'm sure we would do things differently if we could do them over again. But what are those things? That's how we can learn. This is an important goal. I think we as a society have a false impression of what it takes to make technological advancements. We want new technology to be perfect, but it isn't. An exhibit such as this can help us remember that developing new technology is a lengthy process of trial and error, learning, and trying again. We must be willing to accept the costs and risks of failure if we are going to move forward as a society. I think a story like N-reactor can make us better decision makers. As an example, we can look here to the origins of the spent fuel held today in K basins. Most of that fuel originated from N-reactor, and because it is there because the decision was made to shut down Purex facility. Was that the wrong decision? I don't know. But I think it's important that we realize that when we created one problem, when we tried to solve one problem, we created another problem, and we need to learn from that experience. So I believe strongly that we can learn from past projects such as N-reactor and improve the way we function as a society, especially in high technology settings such as Hanford. And for these reasons, we don't want to just document the N-Reactor and put it on a shelf in an archive somewhere. We want to share it with everyone so we can all learn from the process. It is important for those who work at Hanford to understand the spirit that allowed Hanford to achieve its great accomplishments in the past. I think those of us who work there today forget that we are just one chapter of a larger story. Everyone who is part of Hanford should spend some time here in this museum and learn about the roots of Hanford, the accomplishments, the technologies, all aspects of the story. Understanding where we fit in the larger context can help us regain the esprit de corps that once existed, and the effect of that on performance can be dramatic. So this is what we're trying to accomplish, and how this exhibit will enable DOE to comply with federal requirements to document the important historic structures before they are demolished. By the end of the year, the story of N-Reactor will be available for you to read, enjoy, and learn from. In closing, I just want to point to the value of CREST in this overall vision. By partnering with CREST, we are doing things that have never been done before at Hanford. CREST is an important asset for Hanford's historic preservation program, and I want to thank Gwen and her staff for helping us be innovative in the way we are documenting this important piece of Hanford history. We are fortunate to have such a facility in the Tri-Cities, and I know my organization is proud to be part of CREST's inaugural exhibit. I urge all of you to partner with CREST in whatever way you can so that the Tri-Cities can soon have the biggest and best science and history museum in Eastern Washington. Thank you.
Our next speaker was unable to make it today. I think you are all very well acquainted with Sam Volpentest. Sam has been valiantly fighting for the life of FFTF back in Washington, D.C. He just returned home very, very early this morning with a very sore back. He called, sent his apologies this morning about not being able to be here. And we do wish him well. Wish he were here. He played an important role in helping the Tri-Cities achieve N-Reactor with Scoop Jackson and our other senator, and also in getting President Kennedy here. So please remember him in today's activities, and I'm sure he said that he'll be by later this month to share the N-Reactor story. Darby's going to introduce a very special film now that we can all enjoy. And those of you that were there in the groundbreaking on September 26, 1963, will recognize some of these scenes. Darby?
This film was prepared by the Washington Public Power Supply System after President Kennedy's trip. And we're going to pick it up midstream in the video and right at the start of the speeches that took place at the podium that day. So Frankie, if you want to start and turn the lights down.
While they quickly changed the video, I will tell you that this video was shot at N, and you'll see we'll have that on later today, and you can watch part of that. The film that we do want to watch right now is with President Kennedy.
Exactly 1 year from the day that President Kennedy signed the legislation authorizing the Hanford Steam Generating Plant, he was there.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the man I'm now privileged to introduce puts vigorous leadership behind the Hanford Steam Plant proposal when it was in its darkest hour and when its efforts counted the most. He was instrumental in creating statewide support for this project and in arousing the Pacific Northwest to battle for this legislation. He even made a personal trip to Washington, D.C. to work in behalf of the project and to seek the assistance of many congressmen and other influential people. In keeping pace with the progress of
remember, we meet again in the quest of peace. Today, in this corner of the nation, we meet in America's search for peaceful applications of atomic energy, a search that must be successful in America and the world if mankind is indeed to create a just and a lasting peace. Ground will be broken today to advance that cause. The people of the state of Washington are proud, Mr. President, to have you turn the soil that will support the installation to be built with their public utility funds. But the people are also aware that all their willingness and desire to build this plant would have been in vain had it not been for the efforts of Washington public fire officials, public-spirited citizens like Glenn Lee, and for the legislative action of our Congresswomen Julia Butler Hanson and Catherine May, and Senators Magnuson and Senator Jackson. And above all, Mr. President, your own foresight and cooperation, and we are deeply indebted to you for it. This important occasion has worldwide significance in that this electrical generating plant is without precedent. It is conservation in its richest sense, well-ordered, systematic, proficient. Yet, our people see today's activity as but one of several steps toward the inclusive development of private nuclear industries in our state. They view the future of peaceful uses of atomic energy as limitless, as boundless as outer space. This electrical installation is a symbol of their manifest destiny with the atom. With all its uncertainty, we in Washington State prefer the dream of the future to the history of the past, and with this attitude, nothing shall deny us that future. And now, Mr. President, it is my privilege to introduce one who has contributed much to the goal of a stronger America and the cause of freedom, our own esteemed and beloved Senior Senator Warren G. Magnuson.
I'm so proud to be here with him today and proud to present him to you.
Senator Magnuson, Mr. President, distinguished guests, and ladies and gentlemen. Like Grand Coulee Dam to the north, this project that we now undertake was won only after a long struggle on the part of our own citizens, our own officials in the federal government. We started on this project, my friends, a decade ago. And in 1957, the first funds for the convertible reactor was authorized on an engineering basis. And in calendar year 1958, we authorized and appropriated the money to undertake the construction of the convertible reactor. Then when the President of the United States took office in 1961, one of his first acts was to amend the federal budget and to ask for funds for the power features for this project. And from that point on, until the ultimate victory in September of 1962, he gave his full support, wholehearted support, to this project, despite the fact that it passed the Senate 3 or 4 times only to lose in the House, but with the same determination and the willingness to fight on, as was the case of Grand Coulee, which went on for over 10 years, we won this fight. United States, to the Secretary of Interior, Stuart Udall, who is here today, who field marshaled the job with the legislators, and the Chairman of the Atomic Energy Commission, Dr. Glenn Seaborg, who was not able to be here. But I want to make special mention to the then Chairman of the Joint Committee on Atomic Energy, Congressman Chet Hollowfield, who carried the battle, despite difficult odds in the House, to ultimate victory there. And to the local citizens, Gwen Lee and others, we shall always be indebted. We will have many more fights in the future, and the rich experience of the past, I think, will stand us in good stead. We bring here today the peaceful avenue. We're proud that just upriver we have the largest hydroelectric power project in the United States, the project that helped make possible Hanford itself along with the rich, cool waters of this great river. We trust, my friends, that this will be but the first step in a scientific diversification at Hanford. We want to beat more swords into plowshares. I know we have the rich talent here to do that job, and with the able support of the President of the United States in the future, as we have had so richly in the past, we will do it. It is now my high honor and great privilege to present the President of the United States.
My old
my old colleague, Senator Magnuson, Governor Rotellini, Stuart Udall, Ted Morse, Congressman Ullman, Jeff Hollifield, Commissioner, ladies and gentlemen. This is an extraordinary place to visit as a citizen and as President of the United States, because along this river, men have played a significant role in the last 20 years, which has changed the entire history of the world. And therefore, to come all the way from Washington and see this river and see these reactors and recognize their significance in the closing days of the Second World War, and also the role that the men and women who work here have played in the years since the Second World War in maintaining the strength of the United States. I am here today to express my appreciation to you. The atomic age is a dreadful age, but we must realize that when we broke the atom apart and released its energy and changed the history of the world, no one can say what the future will bring. No one can speak with certainty about whether we shall be able to control this deadly weapon, whether we shall be able to maintain our lives and our peaceful relations with other countries. I can assure you we do everything we can. It's for that reason that I so strongly support it, recognizing as I did its limitations, but as a step, as Senator Magnuson said, on the long road to peace, that I strongly supported the Test Ban Treaty. But no one can say now what will come of all of that effort, or indeed of the whole atomic age. It may well be that man recognizes now that war is so destructive, so annihilating, so incendiary, that it may be possible out of that awful fact, it may be possible for us, step by step, to so adjust our relations, so develop a rule of reason and a rule of law, that we may, out of this scientific change, it may be possible for us to find a more peaceful world. That is our intention. But I want you to know that the efforts that you have made and invested, the talents which have been at work here, I think on several occasions, have contributed to the security of the United States and in a very large sense to the peace of the world. I'm also glad to come here today because we begin work on the largest nuclear power reactor for peaceful purposes in the world. And I take the greatest satisfaction in the United States being second to none. I think it's a good area where we should be first. And we are first. It's extraordinary how long it took. It's extraordinary what energy, human energy, was required to get this concept accepted. But as Scoop Jackson said, just as it took a decade to get the Grand Coulee, which of all the extraordinary national assets I've seen in the last 2 days is the most extraordinary, because it not only led to the prosperity of this valley, but led to what has been happening here for 20 years and now leads to this new breakthrough. From that action, which took a decade to accomplish, pay for itself many times over, and in a sense already has. We have some idea of how important it is that these fights be won. And this fight was won by the dedicated work of the members of this state, work in the Senate, the Congress, and most of all, I think, by the local people, who, when the Congress failed to meet its complete responsibility, took up the slack. And therefore, this is a partnership in a very real sense, national government and the local community for the benefit of our country. I come from Massachusetts. from the other side of the country, but it's a very small country, and I take the greatest pride in what we're all doing here. I wonder how many people who are sitting here today who were born in the state of Washington. Would you hold up your hand? Including the children. And now everybody who wasn't born in the state. There you see that, that's an important point. When we develop these resources in the Northwest United States, it's just as well that the country realizes that we're not talking about one state or two state or three states. We're talking about the United States. Our people move freely from east to west and even once in a while from west to east. But in any case, the country becomes stronger. There's an old saying that a rising tide lifts all the boats. And as the Northwest United States rises, so does the entire country. So it does. So Governor Rosalini, Owen Hurd, Glenn Lee, Don Brunetti, and the others, I want to tell you that you have fulfilled your responsibilities as citizens, and I think that this is going to be extraordinary development. I look forward to coming back here sometime and seeing this at work, because what you are able to do here, I think, can be done around the world. So we're going to show them the way. There are two points on conservation that have come home to me in the last 2 days. One is the necessity for us to protect what we already have, what nature gave to us, and use it well, not to waste water or land. Set aside land and water, recreation, wilderness, and all the rest now, so it will be available to those who come in the future. That is the traditional concept of conservation. And it still has a major part in the national life of the United States. But the other part of conservation is the newer part. And that is to use science and technology to achieve significant breakthroughs, as we are doing today, and in that way to conserve the resources, which 10 or 20 or 30 years ago may have been wholly unknown. So we use nuclear power for peaceful purposes and power. We use new techniques to develop new kinds of coal and oil from shale and all the rest. We use new techniques that Senator Magnuson has pioneered in oceanography. So from the bottom of the ocean and from the ocean, we get all the resources which are there and are going to be mined and harvested. And from the sun, we're going to find more and more uses for that energy and power we're so conscious of today. All this means that we put science to work. Science to work in improving our environment and making this country a better place in which to live. So I want us to stay ahead. You know that in the next 10 years, I hope the people of the United States realize that we double the need for electric power every 10 years. We need the equivalent of a new Grand Coulee Dam every 60 days. In the next 20 years, we're going to have to put in the electric industry $125 billion of investment. And when we do that, this country will be richer, and our children will enjoy a higher standard of living. We don't realize that what we regarded as affluence 30 years ago is now way down below. Air conditioning, television, electricity, all the rest have changed the life of this country, and we're going to find the same extraordinary changes in the next 20 or 30 years. I think we must do several things. First, we must maintain an aggressive program to use our hydro resources to the fullest. Every drop of water which goes to the ocean without being used for power or used to grow or being made available on the widest possible base is a waste. I hope that we will do everything we can to make sure that nothing runs to the ocean unused and wasted. Secondly, we can meet our electric power goals by developing new means of making our vast resources of coal more competitive in the generation of electricity. Coal is an old spirit, as is well known here at Hanford, we must hasten the development of low-cost atomic power. I think we should lead the world. By 1967, 68, 1970, in the Northeast United States, where power rates are nearly double yours, we're going to find atomic power increasingly competitive. And by the end of this century, this is going to be a tremendous source. Our experts estimate that half of all electric energy generated in the United States comes from nuclear sources. And fourth, we must construct efficient interconnections between electric systems, public and private, both within regions, if you've done so effectively here in the Northwest, and between regions, as has been proposed by means of a Pacific Northwest, Pacific Southwest intertie. Maybe we can get some in California. Finally, we must not allow this technology to lead to monopolization, either by the federal government or by large combine of private utilities. We should realize the economies of size without jeopardizing the rights of our citizens to be served by the type of electric utility they prefer, and also to encourage competition. These are the things we must do and many more. This great rich country of ours has a long unfinished agenda, but it's always had that agenda in creative times. And this is a creative time in our country and throughout the world. All of the trained and educated men and women who are making our country over, who are building a better standard of living for our people. This is a time when we wish to encourage that release of energy, human energy, which is the most extraordinary of all. And therefore, I'm proud to come here across the United States as president to express our thanks to you, to express my pride in what is being begun here today, which puts the United States, as I said, once more in the lead in a whole new area which can mean so much to people around the world. And I think it's very appropriate that we come here where so much has been done to build the military strength of the United States, to find a chance to strike a blow for peace, to find a chance to strike a blow for a better life for our fellow citizens. This is a great national asset. I can assure you it will be maintained. And from the work we begin today, I hope the light will spread out, not merely to those who are served by electricity, but to all the world to realize that here in the United States, we're moving ahead, providing security for our people, and also a hope for a better life in this most beautiful country of ours.
Good time. It's a good place to do this.
Well, how many of you were there that day? Aha! A good percentage. There were 37,000 people from this area that attended that ceremony that day. And we have something besides this marvelous exhibit to show you today. Thanks to those people who knew then that history was important and that it was important to retain artifacts, we have, and this comes on loan to us from the Washington Public Power Supply System, we have the wand that was used that day. We're going to keep it in this box. It's a treasure. Someday, when we break ground for CREST, maybe we can use the same wand. Sharon, what do you think? We will leave this up here so you can see it. I need to also ask, I asked how many of you attended that day, but I know Wally Ruff and Hank and several of the rest of you worked on N. Could we see a show of hands of those of you who worked out at N Reactor? Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations to all of you. Our next speaker is one who helped to keep this center alive in the face of drastic budget cuts. He's John D. Wagner, manager of the Department of Energy Richland Operations, a position that he's held since July of 1990. And he came to Richland just after the announcement of the closure of N Reactor. Mr. Wagner has overseen the change of the mission at Hanford from defense production to environmental cleanup. It's really my pleasure to welcome Mr. Wagner here today, and we appreciate his taking part of his morning on this, part of this day on this glorious Saturday morning to share it with us. John?
Well, I'm delighted to do this. I'm just sorry that I didn't have a chance to participate in the operating history of N Reactor. The part of it that I have responsibility for today doesn't appear, especially to those of you who were there at the time of this groundbreaking and the design and construction of this reactor, doesn't appear quite as exciting and glorious. The presentation there by the president, I think, was very impressive. It's interesting to hear some of those themes and to think about what the situation is today with respect to the accuracy of his predictions. Certainly, we don't find the same desire to utilize every drop of the river's water by many of our citizens today. And we didn't quite reach the 50% point for production of electricity by nuclear energy by the end of the century. It's kind of hard to believe that we're at the so close to the end of the century at the present time. But I get reminded about this ceremony many times by another person who was there. In fact, I have a picture in the conference room next to my office of the crowd assembled on the platform for that ceremony. And one of the people who was there was on the staff of the Joint Committee of Atomic Energy at the time the generating plant was started, and is today the chairman of the Nuclear Facility Safety Board, John Conway. And he makes frequent visits to Hanford. And of course, today he's on the side of looking at whether or not we are safely carrying out the program of the next step with N-Reactor and the other nuclear facilities here at Hanford. But he always asks if I still have his picture hanging in my conference room. As a matter of fact, his picture is hanging on the wall at the Tri-City Herald also, because they have that together with Glenn Lee in that gallery of pictures if you've walked up to the second floor there of the Tri-City Herald. The things that we see from a historical perspective as we look at N-Reactor is that we see at the point the country made the decision to invest in another production facility here at Hanford, that the importance of this site to the national security was again emphasized. As we were well into the period of the Cold War, having gone from the hot war of World War II, that once again Hanford made another commitment. But at this time, the country was beginning to think differently about some of the aspects of producing nuclear materials. The environmental concerns were such that it was realized we could do a better job of protecting the Columbia River as we produced nuclear materials for our national security. And that concern that existed at that time resulted in N-Reactor being designed such that there would not be direct cooling of the reactor and therefore elimination of the direct contamination of river water by going away from the single pass reactors that had been the norm prior to N-Reactor at Hanford. This was a major step forward, and it also led people to work further on other technological developments that were incorporated into this reactor. The envelope was being pushed. I think it's extremely impressive to compare what the United States did at that point in time with our adversary of that time, the Soviet Union, with the production reactors that they built, many of which were dual-purpose reactors, and unfortunately many of which are operating still today. And it's also interesting to see that it's the expertise that existed here at Hanford that is today being employed in trying to figure out some way to improve the safety of those Soviet reactors that are still operating so that they don't represent a significant threat to the health and safety of the citizens of the former Soviet Union until such time as they can get alternative power sources and shut down those power reactors. We see again in the upcoming budgets being proposed for the Department of Energy a plan to continue to use that N-reactor expertise from